Yo, what is up? This is Dylan Lewis, and you're listening to the Blister 57 podcast. Respect.
All right, welcome to Blister 57 podcast. On Skype, we have Bryce and Bo. How are you guys?
Yeah, good.
Good, thanks.
Good, that's the way. And Bryce, over to you, mate, with the topics.
Yep, Chrome OS gets an unofficial 64-bit port. iTunes is going to overhaul its iTunes service. iHandstick Snap-on, it's going to make your iPhone have PlayStation-like grips, which is pretty cool. iBuyPower gets the exclusive rights to sell the Thermalake Level 10 pre-built systems. Apple's rumored to release a new tablet in March of next year for $1,000. WireWorld's Platinum Starlight HDMI cable is going to be $1,000. IEEE is going to push the next 802.11 standard to 1 gigabit speed. A new Boxy box is actually coming out in quarter 2 of 2010. The 3GS apparently has a Nintendo 64 emulator.
All right, sounds good. And I'll be talking about the new iPhone app released from Ustream. It's a broadcast app, which you can get on the iTunes store for free. All right, would you want to start off with the first story, Bryce?
Yep, well, if anybody's tried the Chrome OS, I actually haven't read into this story too much, but I think they actually ported it fully to 64-bit so you can boot now off it instead of using a virtual machine. But if anybody's actually running off a virtual machine, you'll know how bad it ran. Apparently, the port's not official, so it's an unofficial 64-bit port. But hopefully, it'll run a lot better than when it was first released, because it didn't run that well.
Yeah, I agree. I had it run on my netbook, and it ran really slow.
Running it off a virtual machine really slows it down. It doesn't get its full potential out.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Apparently, Apple's going to overhaul its iTunes service, so it's been running the same for quite a few years now, so they also apparently acquired some music streaming service, Lala or something, I don't know.
Okay.
But they are going to redo all of iTunes, apparently, which is pretty good. They've also got iTunes LP now, which is pretty nice.
Cool.
So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it sounds good, mate. Yeah, it sounds pretty good, mate. Very good. And what about you, Bo? What do you reckon about it, mate?
It sounds different. Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. There's this new thing that's come out for the iPhone, which is called the iHandstick, which basically you put your iPhone into, it's like a case. It turns it into like a PlayStation controller, so you can, if you're playing any like accelerometer games or anything like that, it just gives you better grip, which is pretty good. And they say it's going to be $16.99 plus shipping, which is a pretty decent price, actually. So what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Is that some sort of controller, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I'll send you the link so you can have a look at it.
Okay.
So.
All right, sounds good, man.
It's actually pretty good. I mean, if you play games on your iPhone, just, you know, as a quick game.
Yeah, I don't really play games on my iPhone.
It's definitely not a gaming device, but I mean, you know, if you want to play a quick game, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Is there a price on that at all?
$16.99, and that's including shipping.
Fuck, that's all right. $16? Yeah. Gee, that's all right.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd have to purchase one of them for a review.
Next topic is iBuyPower got the exclusive rights to sell the Thermalake Level 10 pre-built systems, which is a pretty big, you know, contract, I guess.
Yep.
The specifics on it is, it says it's going to have Intel's Core i7-920, 2 gig NVIDIA GeForce GTX 285, 6 gigs DDR3 RAM, 128 gig solid-state drive, 1 terabyte storage drive. So that's pretty nice, and it's going to be $2,499 US.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty cool, actually.
Next topic is that Apple is supposed to be releasing a handheld tablet of some sort. We don't actually know what's going to be touchscreen, or it's going to have keys, no one knows. But in March of next year, apparently. They say it's going to go into production around February, so it'll be out around March.
All right.
They think it's going to be about $1,000, but knowing Apple, they're probably going to jack up the price.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure, but they said they might even have an OLED version. Which it looks interesting, because they say that all magazine companies that are now losing a lot of money are going to go to them. Which is, it's good because, you know, some magazine companies do a really good job and, you know, just people don't buy them anymore because they go on the internet and get it for free.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, exactly. They do deserve the business, so hopefully that'll help them out a bit. And they say it may even go all the way out to $2,000, I guess, for the OLED bigger version.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts on this? Do you think you'd read the newspaper off that?
Probably not. I don't really read the newspaper at all, but... Depends.
Yeah.
That's what the internet's for.
Yeah, the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, they reckon that they're going to make it sort of like a full version of the newspaper, so it's going to look exactly the same, and you can scroll through it on National Geographic. So it's going to have, you know, like a nice resolution, nice pictures. So it's going to look better than on the internet. It's going to look like a real paper, but a digital version you can buy anywhere.
All right. Is it color or a black and white?
Color. It's going to be like a handheld computer, like full-on color screen, high resolution. But they're going to have it look exactly like the paper, except, you know, it's going to be all digital. So you can buy a subscription, it'll get delivered to you and whatever. But you know, that's, it looks pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of people may actually switch to that.
Yeah.
Big news readers. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're on the go, you don't want to be carrying around 20 papers at once.
No.
The next topic is Wireworld's Platinum Starlight HDMI cable is $1,000. I don't know why they're charging that much, because the standard HDMI cable would be the same. But they just put like carbon fiber on the end, 24 karat gold on it, and they just went over the top. Whether anybody buys it, I don't know. If you think that's bad, another company's actually released a $1,800 power cable.
Shit.
I'll send a link to the power cable.
All right, okay. The HDMI, is that, so the, well, the first reason they'd probably be charging that amount of money for the HDMI cable is probably the end of it, wouldn't it? The gold, the plated bit.
I actually don't know why they're charging that much. Because, I mean, Monster charges a lot of money for their cables as well.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that a standard one would be the same. Because it's a digital signal, it's not analog.
No, that's right.
So,
exactly right.
You know, it can't get interference or anything, so...
Mm.
I don't know, but... Yeah.
I don't know why they would charge that amount of money for a HDMI cable.
Yeah, so what do you think about the cable?
Personally, if it was a little bit lower than that, I would probably buy one, but not at that price.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they may lower the price. I don't know what is making it that good, because... I've heard a lot of reports of people buying Monster cables, and then they go out and get the standard cable, and they say, you know, the standard cable looks the same, if not better, than the Monster cable. So,
yeah,
assuming this is the same scenario.
Does it depends on what you're using it on and that sort of thing at all?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like displays or
if you wanted to have that cable in your roof and it was in like a permanent area, you could never remove it.
Yeah.
Like if it was concreted in the wall, not that you would, but...
No, you wouldn't.
If it was in a permanent place and you could never move it,
yeah,
you might want to go with that, because that may be a bit stronger than your standard cable, and you know, if you don't want it to break or anything.
Or get chewed through.
Yeah, and you know, like Monster and that. Those are the only times that I guess would allow you, or, you know, you'd want to buy it, because otherwise there's no real point if it's just going from the back of your TV to your Xbox or PS3 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of stupid, but
yeah,
I guess if it's in a permanent fixture, you can't move it, I guess you'd probably want to go with something a bit more strong, but even then I'd go with Monster cable, not the $1,000 cable.
Yeah. So what's the maximum you would pay for a cable? I know we spoke about this last time, but what's the maximum price you've paid for a HDMI cable?
I've paid for one, or I would pay for one?
Well, you sort of, yeah, both.
I think the maximum I paid for one is about $100 or more.
Okay. All right.
But the maximum I would ever pay is probably about $200, and that's a cutoff point.
Yeah.
It's all digital signal. I mean,
yeah.
Like I said, you know, if you had it in a permanent place, it may be worth it, but yeah. Mm. So the next topic is IEEE.
Okay. Yep.
Is going to be pushing the next 802.11 standard to 1 gigabit speed. So. What it means about like transfer speeds, like Ethernet 1 gigabit that you have now in your computer will be the same on Wi-Fi, which is pretty nice. It's a fast transfer speed. But I guess since they just recently finalized Draft N, which is now 802.11n,
yep,
they're pushing forward to the next Wi-Fi standard. So what are your thoughts on this?
Sounds very interesting. I don't really know much about Wi-Fi. What about you, Bay? What are your thoughts on it, mate?
Well, Wi-Fi speeds at that will be very beneficial, especially when it comes to video streaming. Yeah. The amount of people connecting to the Wi-Fi network, hotspots will definitely be looking at, you know, that sort of technology, because it's going to be more speed open. So 1 gigs, I mean, obviously the Ethernet connection option will be 1 gig, so you'll be able to offer a heap more users, because at the moment, I think the maximum amount of wireless users you can have connected on a wireless device is 256. Going by my Linksys WIT, and a few others. So seeing it's 1 gig, it's going to open up a whole lot more ability.
Yeah, yeah, so the maximum Wi-Fi transfer speed right now is actually 300 megabits or Mbps. So it's going to push it to 1 Gbps, which is 1 gigabits per second, which is pretty, it's a pretty big upgrade. We went from 50 megabits then to 300 megabits, and now we're going to a gigabit. So we are moving pretty fast forward in terms of Wi-Fi. So that's a good thing, because everybody seems to be using Wi-Fi these days.
Mm.
So, yeah, the next topic is the boxy, I guess, you know, the cinema box version of it is going to be coming out in Q2 of 2010, which apparently D-Link's going to be making the hardware. It's basically, if anybody's ever used the application Boxy on your Mac or your PC or whatever, yeah, you can watch, I don't actually know whether they re-added Hulu, but they used to have Hulu on it, and it's really good. You could watch Hulu from Boxy, and you had all these different media sites you could watch videos from, so it was really nice. They're going to be releasing a box that you can plug into your TV, and I think it may connect through wireless or Ethernet or something like that, but it'll run Boxy permanently and pull all online content, I guess, onto your TV, which is pretty nice. So what are your thoughts on it?
Me personally, I've never used it. I probably won't use it, because I'm not really a fan of watching stuff on the computer. And yep. I'm just a fan of watching stuff on the TV, really. I'm not really...
Yeah, this actually brings content that you'd watch on the computer to your TV.
Okay, cool.
So it's like a standalone... It's sort of like the Apple TV. Have you ever seen the Apple TV?
Yeah, I have, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's like that. It aggregates online content to your TV, so that's pretty cool.
All right. So what is it, actually, like a box? Is it or something like a box?
I'll send you the link so you can have a look. It looks pretty good as well.
I'd like to comment, you can pretty much do that at the moment, running that software. If you've got a Sony PlayStation, I think it even works with the Xbox 360, using the UNP protocol. That allows you to run software on the computer to connect, well, YouTube and stuff like that to the Xbox and the Sony PlayStation. I do it occasionally with most of my DVDs.
Yep.
But in a way, if they were to bring out a box, I personally probably wouldn't go with those sorts of box. I mean, that would be like me going for the Western Digital Live box, which is pretty much limited. I'd be looking at the Linux-based ones, which have a USB ports, Linux, and compatibilities of, you know, changing the firmware on that box, especially if you've got more use of it to put like Linux on it.
Yeah.
You can do a lot more, obviously, because
yeah,
you turn that into a media stereo for music, and you can have web browsing on it. And
yeah, well, they say that this box is going to be about $200. It's going to connect, obviously, through HDMI, and it's going to have, obviously, Boxy software on there. It does have USB ports on it. I don't know how open it's going to be. It may be open, maybe not, but obviously the product hasn't been released yet, so exactly sure what's going to happen there, but it looks pretty good. I mean, I've used Boxy. When it used to have Hulu on it, it used to be a really, really good program, and I ran it on the Apple TV, Boxy, so it's pretty good.
I'm actually looking at the back of it now. It's got like HDMI and that sort of thing on the back of it, and it's got a stereo port in the back.
See, the ones I've been looking at are on YouTube, which are some Chinese ones, which have actually got AV out and AV in, and it can be used as a NAS drive. And also, you can hook it into your Foxtel record videos, use the actual box as a VCR, pretty much. And also, the one I was looking at has a uTorrent application on it, too, so you can use the box to download movies and stuff. And, I mean, that there in itself is a benefit because you don't need your computer to download heaps of TV episodes.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Sounds good.
The next topic is the iPhone 3GS apparently can emulate the Nintendo 64 at full frames, which looks pretty cool. I mean, it has a test video of a guy playing Super Mario, and it looks pretty nice. I mean, if once they release it, I would definitely take a look at it. Mm. It looks pretty nice.
Right.
There's not too much to say on that. Do you think you would use that?
I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't use it.
Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty cool, but yeah. Mm. So, moving on to the $1,800 power cable.
Yep.
I don't know what they were thinking when they released this, but for normal consumers, this is a bit over the top. But there actually is a use for that $1,800 power cable. And that is, if you had a server that was, say, I don't know, $20,000-$30,000 and you don't want it to break, and you want clean electricity going into it, this thing actually does make the electricity extremely clean. So you get the maximum performance and that out of your server. So I guess that is kind of useful, but that $1,000 HDMI cable really is not useful.
Hell no. No way.
So what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, my thoughts on that price, that power cable for $1,800, can that be plugged into anything?
Well, yeah, but you'd mainly want to use it on something that is really of high value to you. I mean,
like
$1,800.
Like a TV and that sort of thing?
Yeah, like a TV or a server, mainly a server, I guess.
No, I don't think I will buy one personally.
Yeah.
I mean, is this power cable got a UPS on it?
No, it just, I'm guessing it just makes the power extremely clean, which is pretty important because...
Well, any decent USP will do that. I mean, I wouldn't pay $1,000 for that when I can pay $125 and get a decent Australian-made UPS, which does that. And I can say it does because we've had a storm, and pretty much whenever there's a storm, you get, increasing current, and the UPS connects into the USB on the thing, and it logs when there's an increase in power, and the actual UPS notifies me by beeping when there's a power fluctuation. I mean, obviously, the $1,000 whatever it is, power cable, they're obviously just, you know, they're trying to make more money than it's actually worth. Decent or smart person would know that.
Yeah, so, yeah, what other topics do you have to talk about?
I want to speak about the new iPhone app, the Ustream Broadcaster app that I got yesterday, that came out the other day. Have you seen that, Bryce, at all, mate?
I had a look at it. It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can actually record video on it. You can upload it to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can actually save it onto your phone. You can record and broadcast live from the phone. It works on the iPhone 3G and the 2G and the 3GS. So it all works on all three phones. And also, what else can you do? You can actually share your location, or you can hide it, record video and that sort of thing. And
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And people have been using it a lot. Apparently it works really well. Can I just mention one more thing?
Yeah.
If you have Foxtel at home, I recommend to get the new Foxtel app that has come out about a week ago or so. That works very well as well. It's called the Foxtel Guide.
Nice.
For the iPhone, yeah.
So, I guess that brings the episode to a wrap.
That's it, mate.
Yep.
That's it. And
so, anybody want to put their Twitter links out there or their website address?
Techwebcast.info and twitter.com/techwebcast. That's the Twitter. What about your address?
They're currently under upgrades.
And what about you, Bryce? What about you? What's your address, mate?
Yep, twitter.com/bills257 and youtube.com/bills257 and bills257.com.
And the daily one, what's the daily one?
BillSwitcher7.com/daily.
Yo, what is up? This is Dylan Lewis, and you're listening to the Blister 57 podcast. Respect.